Off the Ball, GAA.
Ultimately, Galway were the better team, and that's why I'm sitting here not disappointed so much, because the best teams have to win All Irelands, and that's why Galway are with cups this morning.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Arthur, good morning to you. Colin, welcome back.
Hi there, how are you? You well?
Long
you
time good? No see.
Yeah, long time no see.
Last time. I was actually way longer than you were, I suppose.
Yeah, last time we saw each other was at a field on a hill in Waterford.
A teary embrace, yeah. Overwhelmed by the genius of CMAT.
CMAT, who I, to that point, was unfamiliar with.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then I googled said artist, realised that it's a fully Irish name.
Katrine,
talking with yourselves.
Good.
Ciara Mary Alice Thompson.
Yeah. Did you have a good time at all together now?
Oh, yeah.
It was class, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, it was so good.
I saw Owen for the first time yesterday, and he's like, it's the greatest Irish festival ever of all time. I'm like, it kind of is. Next year, if you're going, make sure you call into the Go Loud tent. We had a very good time. Some of the content was unbroadcastable.
Are we broadcasting any of that?
Yeah, we're broadcasting most of it at some point.
Oh, good.
It all exists, except the bits that we had to delete for legal reasons.
I was asked that a lot, actually, down there.
What?
Will this go out?
As I said, a lot of it will go out. Some of it will never see the light of day.
I found out subsequently that those grounds are reportedly haunted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. A curse was placed upon it many centuries ago. And the tent that Go Loud had was right by the house itself, which is principally where the curse is.
In the house?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, we were about 500 yards away from that. But
what was the cause?
There was no curse publication.
What was the cause?
I believe, I might have my stories muddled. This was told to me in a pub in London on Saturday. And it was said to me that a mother couldn't deal with an unruly child and sent the child off to a local senior man who said, "Don't worry about that." And then they hung the child.
Okay, right. Yeah, I mean, you whispered it there as if...
And then, right?
You didn't want people hearing, but actually our audience needs to hear this.
And then, well, you never know who's listening. And could ruin someone's Tuesday. And then subsequently, the mother put a curse on them for a century. For seven generations of that family will suffer. And the math suggesting that they're on the eighth generation of that
so
family.
They're free of the curse.
Our seventh or eighth, so we could have just got away with it.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't do doing all right. You know, they're like the second or third largest estate in the country. And they have the best festival in Ireland there. I didn't realise with this public gallops there, we had Davy Russell on, which I really hope does get broadcast because, I mean, he was amazing. Davy Russell is unbelievably, endlessly fascinating. And he was saying that there are public gallops there and that the overflow from some of the biggest trainers would end up there all the time. So, and they would go hunting there as well. So anyway, look, come see us next year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hope the Brian Kerr one gets broadcast through. That would be good.
Yeah, it was great. BK was in great form.
Do you think that will?
Yeah, I'm sure it will, yeah.
Oh, good.
You could ask some people and find out about it if you wanted.
I'll ask you.
Well, I mean, I wasn't...
But we had a great time. You missed Primal Scream.
I did.
Yeah, it was great.
On Saturday evening?
And
Sunday?
Sunday. As soon as Bobby put lips to microphone, I started lashing.
It was outdoors?
Then. Yeah, that was the main stage. And it was persistent. He started walking away and then he started playing Loaded, went right back.
Did they just do Screamadelica?
No. Because they have a ridiculously extensive catalogue. I think he started new and went backwards.
An Aston Villa fan.
Is he?
A good man. Yeah. Right. A reminder off the ball references with UPMC, orthopedic care, and things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to. Choose us to help you get back in action. Live commentary tonight, off the ball, on the radio. Shells are 2-1 up and stand on the precipice. If they win tonight, they're guaranteed group stage football because they'll be in a playoff for the Europa League group stage against two good teams, either of whom they'll find out who the... be playing if they win, and if they lose that, they automatically get into the group stages. If they lose tonight, they're still in a playoff for the conference in a winnable match, but this is it. Like, this is...
There's also, what is it, 3.8 million on the line.
And
Rijeka have no fans.
Rijeka have no fans. 3,500 is the full capacity of Talca, sold out. Not on TV, but it is on the radio, exclusively live this evening. I think it's Finney and Jonathan on Duty Fort.
That's genuinely great, because it's a travesty that this isn't
scandalous
being shown. I know we said this repeatedly throughout the summer, but at this stage now, this is getting a bit mad. So thankfully it is on the radio tonight.
That's a joke, like. It's crazy. It doesn't really get much bigger, like, realistically.
Legitimately, the league needs another team to start qualifying for this. Otherwise, so if you look at the league table, right, Shamrock Rovers are 10 points clear. So we know what's going to happen at the top of the table. And the battle for European places is hugely important. Look, Pats are probably out of Europe at this stage. Drogheda didn't even make it because of their ownership situation, even though they won the cup last year. So the league really needs Shelburne to get in and get this money. And then they need the next team who qualify, who isn't Rovers as well, to also qualify, so that there is some future level of competition. So you can make the case that this is one of the biggest games involving the rest of the league in a long time. Now, obviously, there is the trapdoor of the next qualifier, but like, you want to get it done now. Like, they have a bit of momentum, a late equaliser at home, a late equaliser against Bowes at the weekend, the away win, but Rijeka.
Yep.
Their star player was missing the last day. He's back. Their manager's under pressure. He's about to get the sack if they lose. They're no mugs. So I don't know. It'll be very tense. The atmosphere will be raucous. The weather will be good. I'm very excited about it.
That'll be amazing. It'll be amazing if they did it. They're giving themselves the best possible chance. Even the result notwithstanding, I know you're hoping to go beyond moral victories, but what they did last week was off the charts. Like, it's just, I'd say, you know, you can kind of count on one hand those kind of big results done away from home, like, in Europe against teams of that calibre. Like, it's mad stuff.
It's 21 years to the week of the famous Deportivo home leg in Lansdowne Road.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, look, I don't know, it's really, really important. So anyway, that game is live this evening on Off the Ball.
Not important enough to televise.
Shells versus Rijeka. And full coverage of that. So if you're a Shells fan, we'd love to hear from you this morning. If you're a Mayo fan, the curse is over, right? Mm. Speaking of curses, you brought the curse up. It was clear, it was just in the background there. I've got to talk about Mayo.
What Mayo did was far less severe than that.
Yeah.
And like any child.
Yeah.
But how long was that curse?
It was forever, wasn't it? Well, no, until the last member of the team died.
Yeah.
Did that not happen?
I think it did.
Yeah. Anyway.
They're free to win.
anyway, let's reframe this conversation.
They themselves stopping them now.
And maybe they will now with this dream team ticket. Not just Moran himself. Like.
So Andy Moran was confirmed last night as the new manager of Mayo. Colin Boyle is going to be part of his backroom team. Yeah. I wonder will he still do his weekly calls with Owen.
Don't think so. Darren O'Sullivan's going to have to find someone else.
And Paddy Talley is the extra interesting little wrinkle in the backroom team. Talley obviously very successful with Kerry. Jack O'Connor made it known that he was going to bring him in if he'd stayed with Kildare, but obviously he didn't stay with Kildare because the Man United gig came along. It was better than Man United, it turned out. Much better gig than Man United. Was that an error? And on Jack O'Connor's part, it wasn't Man United. It was more Barcelona.
Yeah. Fair play to him.
He's Frank Rijkaard at Barcelona.
Kind of remarkable to me that you see occasionally in GAA the lack of ego sometimes for a fellow who goes from managing an intercounty side to going to coaching one, to helping out straight away. In the case of Paddy Talley here.
Yeah, helping out's an interesting verb. We can't go too far down that road, but... there must be benefits involved to it.
I know, whatever benefits there are, whatever wink, wink and nudge, nudge there is, you're still not the main man, and you just were.
Yeah.
And you see it occasionally, you know, and the other side of it is that, like, it's often accused of being overly sensitive to GAA. The latest being Cathal Murray, see his comments thereafter, Galway won, was, you know, how dare they write about us, you know? And that seems, Maurice Brazen brought that up a couple of months ago on the show, that there is an excessive sensitivity in the GAA from players, fans, managers alike. That's one side of it. But I do think the ego is generally part for, maybe look, the conditions very much suit Paddy Talley. But he was just the manager a few weeks ago, and now he's part of the backroom.
I think there's a couple of things, right? It is definitely an ability to work in a team and not always have to be the alpha dog. But it also must be entirely sickening of your whole, the amount of work you have to do as a manager versus I'm going to be a coach. I'm really good at this coaching thing. And while I have ambitions to be a manager, it is such a pain in the hole. You've got to deal with the county board. You've got to deal with so all of the professional staff, they all have to be paid, right? Your physio, your nutritionist, and whoever else is getting paid on your team. Mm-hmm. And you're the one who's ultimately responsible because you hired them. And if they're not getting paid, you then have to go to the county board and say, this guy did these number of hours and I've checked them off. Yeah, that's the correct numbers. Pay the man the money. You got to do all that. And then you've got the players coming, my girlfriend's mother is sick and I'm going to miss training. You're like, I mean, you know, my dog died. I don't care. So come to training. Whereas you're on the coach, it's like whoever's here is here.
True, but allow me to bring football into this if you don't mind, as I understand the money is a different world altogether, no parallels there. But you'd have the same issue in football, that you go to be the manager who has to ultimately deal with all the responsibility. And rarely you would see a person going from managing a team to being a coach of the team next. It's a real rarity in football. And I understand that the money is a different story altogether there, which is the principal reason. But other than that, especially if you're a person who's fairly well sorted financially, who has done that? Probably like Steve McLaren in recent memory, went back to being an assistant at United, having managed for a number of years. But that was between jobs, and there was a few years between those jobs. You don't see it too much in football, but it's a real GAA thing where there's no problem coming in and out. Sure. Davy Fitz, wasn't he part of the Cork Camogie set up for a year as well?
Yeah,
between Wexford and Waterford.
I suppose it's like there's just not as much.
It's a different industry. It's more like the principle of it. It's interesting, the comparative principle.
Because they are everywhere. You're all around the place. Even
you wouldn't be surprised if Kylie now, whenever he does leave Limerick, and maybe just for the interesting setup of it, or I'll just go and join the backroom team in Dublin. See what they can do. You could do what Pat Ryan could say. I wouldn't mind. I don't mind helping out Wexford. See if I can bring him along. See if I can bring him higher than ninth in Willow Callaghan's power rankings.
Yeah.
I was catching up this morning on a few reels. I think that's the best way to catch up when you've been away for a while. And that struck me straight away. Ninth.
Wexford ninth?
Yeah.
About right though, right?
Probably. Dublin sixth.
Yeah. Well, let's wait and see if they can build on what they did last year.
I guess there's no manager in GAA that I would be surprised to see do a backroom job after.
There would have been. Cody was never going to do it.
But then
I don't think John Kiely would either.
I don't think John Kiely would either. But
no.
Time will tell.
It will. That's one of those things. As I'm lying on my deathbed, you'll be there.
I told you. I got this. Get out of the way, loved ones. Yeah. Jarpring, come here.
Look at him in that leash tracksuit.
I'm trying to think of a football example of a fella who went straight from being a manager to a coach.
Well, Roy Keane obviously went back to be number two to Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, I suppose there's a few years between. That's the only thing. Steve McLaren.
But he also went back. Keane went back to be number two to Villa for a while. Or was he number three?
He was again for second time.
I've even forgotten. Wow. What's his name?
Owner Paul Lambert.
Ex-British Paul Lambert. Yeah.
Yeah. He was Villa and then Forest under Martin O'Neill, and obviously Ireland.
But Ireland first, right?
I think it was Ireland was 2013. Villa was 15.
Yeah,
Forest was the late 2010s.
Yeah.
So it's done. It's just not that regular. But what a ticket though for Mayo.
Yeah, what a ticket for Mayo.
So he finished playing in 2019, not that long ago, really, the grand scheme of things. He was the OG in the football pad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd obviously be extremely familiar with a lot of these players. It's interesting.
It's just far enough away from.
I was thinking that this morning coming in. I was like, so it's 6 years removed, but crucially, he's gone and done other things, two other things to be precise. 3 years at Leitrim.
So many people so many of the grand poobahs of the GAA world criticise managers and coaches for going outside their county. But how are you supposed to get experience and how are you supposed to understand what the setup is actually like?
And do you think that criticism is still as prevalent as it once was?
There's still everybody. Well, it depends. If it's one of your mates, it's totally fine. Mm. It's great. You're a great person. Off you go. if it's somebody you don't like, there are leeches on human stains on society for stealing the money of these counties who are desperate for success. Like, do you know what I mean? It's a vast, stereotypically Irish, hypocritical nonsense.
Yeah.
That you, outside managers.
Yeah, well said.
It's
there,
like, oh,
yeah,
this guy's genius. But he's sorry.
I was thinking of that. Your description there was particularly Irish, but you nailed it there in the summary of it. It feels to me that there's people are kind of slightly more accepting of lads travelling between counties now. Well, but that's purely vibes and no evidence.
I think that the vast majority of us live in the real world and understand that there are a limited number of jobs and how are you going to get experience? Mm. And you can't go in with, you can't go in with a manager who you want to replace generally.
Yeah.
Without being somehow tainted if they fail. So there's very few managers who have survived.
Can we talk about the post-playing career of Andy Moran, right? So he has 3 years at Leitrim and it goes pretty well overall.
Well, just at the very start, it goes disastrously.
Yeah.
They get beaten by New York.
And it was an amazing comeback initially, but then people my memory was that people kind of left him off a bit because he was just starting off, even with that disastrous New York game.
Well, I think they regrouped relatively well.
It was year two was the best, wasn't it? I think
they built
memory was really, really strong. And then 3rd year was decent. And it was a shame that he left. That was definitely the feeling from the Leitrim perspective was that, that's a shame that he's gone. And of course, they had a disastrous time when he left. And then I was thinking to myself, when he did join Gabriel Bannigan at Monaghan, I was like, why is he doing that? That's really interesting. Why is he doing that? Because he had 3 good years, mostly good. And now he's a backroom member. So I was thinking, were the designs there that he'd basically, this sounds brutal, but to outlast Bannigan, that he would get that job eventually? Was that the design of it? Or was he just purely crafting his skills as a coach?
I don't think he had his eye on the Monaghan internship.
And I'm sure you're right.
I think it was always Mayo.
But
and so what you want,
do you think this was a plan all along kind of thing? Well, I go to Monaghan, that Mayo job will come available. I'll do my stuff here. But why would that prove that I could be an inter-county manager of Mayo if I'm a backroom member of Monaghan?
Because first off, if you're the manager of Leitrim, that's great, but you're an outside figure with an incredible profile and brilliant communication skills, and so there's automatically going to be an uplift. People are going to show up training in a way that maybe they haven't done for some recent managers, and can you build on that? Great. But can you deal with players who are at the elite level, Division 1 level, and can you show signs of a game plan and understanding what they're looking for and what their motivations are? Because it's going to be different from what the Leitrim players. The Leitrim players want to qualify for the Tailteann Cup and have a run. Monaghan want to win Ulster. Can you provide sessions for them that is, you know, physically challenging, technically challenging, tactically challenging, and deliver? I think they played pretty good football. I do think that there was some goal chances that they could have taken in the game against Donegal that they'll, in the dark nights of winter, go, we had them on the rack, we could have beaten them. We could have been the ones getting hammered by Kerry in an All-Ireland final. So I think that's it. You're stepping up the quality of player you're working with, and you're going, well, what do I want from my coaches? I think that's it. It's definitely a much better CV having done that than it would have been going straight from Leitrim to Mayo.
It's going to be very, very interesting because he'll be the first, I suppose, of that. And I suppose you'd call it a golden era team that'll take the job, you know? And I presume over the next 20, 30 years,
they'll all have crack.
There'll probably be a fair few more of them. Like, it's kind of, you'll see it coming. So, but it's what's really difficult is that they're not that anymore. Whatever way you want to kind of shape it, they're not that. So it's very hard to know what success is. Like, he'll have to win a Connacht title next year. I know that's ephemeral worth to whatever else that anyone else thinks, but he'll have to do that. Can't lose to Galway. I'm not saying he gets sacked if he doesn't, but he, just to set the mood right, he'll have to do that. And then after that, it's like,
yeah, what's the successful year?
Nobody's considering like Mayo are going to win the All Ireland.
No, not at all. They wouldn't be in the conversation.
Not even in the chat. So it's like, right, so Mayo getting to a quarter final, semi final, would be a success, but it's not what the associate, just by his proxy of being there. And it's a similar thing, I know, to a far lesser degree with Sligo. A similar thing to the lads being there is that thing. It's like, you were successful, and it's like you're straight away thinking about their era. But I don't know if that's going to be easy to replicate. It's not going to be easy to replicate, but I don't know if he's even within the grasp of possibility to replicate it.
Let me ask you this. It's a great appointment. First of all, are we all in agreement with that?
Yeah, I think I'm very excited to see what Andy can do, and I'm delighted that somebody of Andy's reputation is going back and saying, right, I'm going to take this. I'm going to make the effort to fix my county.
Well, maybe that's your answer to the question is, why do you both think, and you're probably speaking on behalf of the majority of the country, not all of the country, why do you think it's a good appointment?
It's interesting.
He's relatively unproven. There's going to be so much more exposure at Mayo than there was at Leitrim.
Yeah, I suppose James Horan didn't have inter-county experience, not as a manager anyway. Stephen Rochford didn't. They'd both got their respective teams to multiple All-Ireland finals.
Rochford did have All-Ireland club-winning credentials.
No, I know, yeah. They have plenty of bona fides, but like I'm just in terms of... If you listen, as you're saying, the exposure.
Go back and listen to some of the Andy Moran conversations about how football should be played, about coaching, and the interviews that he did with us over the time when he was the Leitrim manager. He was obviously less public when he was in the backroom team with Monaghan. And it's somebody who thinks deeply about the game. And also, you think about what he managed to do with his talent. This is like, he's clearly one of the most focused and driven and exploited every bit of his talent as a player and seems to understand how that whole process worked. Like, I just think he's... the profile of the inter-county manager is young, very busy in a professional capacity or much older and loads of free time. There's kind of, very busy managers of other things that are able to apply managerial skills. And obviously, Paddy Talley's going to do the bulk of the coaching.
It'll be stressful because he's obviously a very kind of proficient communicator as well. But like, there's definitely a bit of an edge to him, I think, in terms of his deals with things. Like, I don't think he necessarily, suffering fools. I don't think he'll do that, but
in a charming way.
Yeah, but like, as you're saying, like, I'm not reverting away from it as well. Like, the pressure is going to be intense. And I suppose the kind of, he'll know from being a player, like, he'll know exactly what that's like. But like, I suppose it's like losing to Leitrim with New York, or to New York with Leitrim was kind of like, oh. Yeah. Whereas like the equivalent result for Mayo is like, out of the county.
He knows it as a player, he remembers it, but that was still a collective, even though he won, you know, Footballer of the Year 2017. So the spotlight was on him to an extent, but it was still a collective failing whenever they did lose ultimately. Whereas now he does have to deal with the fact that it's all on him. And the only thing is that he's got the ultimate, presumably this is his ultimate ambition in GA management. He's got the job extremely early. So then what happens from there? Now this sounds like I'm naysaying the whole thing. I'm very excited by it too. I woke up this morning delighted with life when I saw that was the first push notification I saw was that he was getting ratified. And that's brilliant. Outstanding. Because the new generation coming through of management. Sure, Brennan next year with Dublin too. So not that it even needed that much more excitement, but I'm even more excited for it now.
I didn't check the odds yesterday, right? But on Odds Checker, the spread of available prices on Mayo to win the All-Ireland range from 20 to 1 to 10 to 1. The average is 14. So it looks like there might have been a bit of shortening of prices since Andy got the job into 10s and 12s. So that's had some kind of an impact, right? But Carrier, 6 to 4, which I think was a great price.
Oh, sorry, Jack O'Connor staying on?
We don't know. We were talking about speculating about it yesterday.
He's thinking about it.
I think the longer it goes on, the more likely it is, right? Donegal 7, Tyrone 7, Armagh 14, Derry 14, Mayo 14, Dublin 14, Galway 14. So when you say no one's talking about them, right? People think they have an equal chance as Dublin and Galway.
I don't know why I think Dublin. I think people are much more on board with Dublin than Mayo.
That's not quite like...
We haven't seen the Dublin backroom team just yet?
Not yet.
No.
But I think people are very excited by the manager.
And I think
it... Because the manager has proven, would you call it overachievement? Certainly did very well.
Oh, huge, huge achievement. Massive. It's impossible to know because it's going to be an extremely interesting Connacht championship.
Oh, yeah.
So why staying on?
As far as we know,
I think people have put that talk into...
It was up to him to...
It's just two defeats in 3 years at the finals. gut-wrenching. But is there enough evidence to say that he won't go that one step further?
Joyce, no. Yeah. No, no. Yeah. I think
that Meath game, I mean, they have to live with that now for the rest of the year, about how they didn't drive on when they scored that 2-3 in 4 minutes. We're getting flooded, lads.
Okay.
Flooded with comments.
Just before you get to the comments, do we want to, Podge Collins is coming on to talk about...
The
gerrymandering of the Munster Football Championship. What do you think of this, Arthur?
I haven't seen whatever the Munster Council rationale. It just feels like is it libelous to call it a money grab? Like, it's just, we want Cork and Kerry in the Munster final because that'll get the biggest of whatever possible gay / revenue / viewing audience.
This is negligible.
Whatever. Yeah. And I just think that's kind of ludicrous. Even I'd be embarrassed from a Cork point of view.
Why?
That you're kind of, well, because it's we're kind of saying earlier, like it's like the Spurs in the Super League thing. It's like, what the hell are Cork in terms of trying to cut themselves up?
Cork are not more easily than Mayo and Galway.
So what? Like, it's not. Cork are far closer to the other four than they are to Kerry.
But
it's that type of thing in the GA where it's just like,
this is the right to lose to Kerry, basically.
It's not the right to lose. It's the right to get into the All-Ireland Championship. So Cork basically have one game every year where you could be playing one of those teams. And that's all you have to do. If Cork manager comes in and does that and wins that game, that's it, grand. I get into the last top 16, easy peasy, no problem whatsoever. It doesn't really matter what happens with the rest of the year. Porky Queeve will get its games, that'll get run down the debt, whatever else that's there. It just feels a bit grubby.
I tell you why this will really anger even more the fans of Limerick, Tipperary, Clare and Waterford, is that, like, I'd say largely the rest of the country but apathetic towards this news.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm not even seeing it in the comments that much really this morning. There's other things happening.
From a competition perspective, it actually makes a little bit of sense to have, I would say, seeding should exist on the basis of league in all of the championships, particularly Ulster. I don't know why you're doing it. It's absolutely mad. Anyway, because sometimes you have the two best teams in the preliminary round. What are you doing? That was it. Anyway,
it's mad that they've gone on the solo run for it, and it's 3 years starting next year. That's the other thing. So, like, they've done this all around.
Purely a financial decision.
And then the big question is, why did Limerick approve it? And
it makes no sense.
Jimmy Lee is exasperated at that, to say the least. Betrayal was the word used. So that's really fascinating why that happened.
We're going to talk to Paul in about 10 minutes about that. We'll get his thoughts on the Mayo situation.
Not happy either.
Dub situation as well. He's not happy?
No.
Oh, a sneak preview, he's not happy?
No, sure he'd be, though.
The CPA statement was issued yesterday. It was a bit wishy-washy. It was a bit like, we're thinking about what we're doing. We're not going to talk to you about what we're thinking. We're not happy.
I think they met last night.
So we're going on strike. Come on.
But they can't go on strike. Like, it's only one part of their year. It's not... It doesn't affect their league games. Like, it's not, you know, it's just.
We're not going to take part in this.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, off with them. It's the principle of it just is, it's the same sort of thing. It's the same thing, and it's as guilty as happened with hurling. It's just like, just reinforce that hierarchy. For God's sake, whatever you do, don't try and help those that are underneath. Because now, like, who the hell cares about if Waterford play Clare? And I'm not saying already that it was a massive kind of game, but if Waterford play Clare or Limerick Clare and Clare and Tip cares?
Clare and Tip on one side of the draw in a Munster semi-final, big prize, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big game.
But now it's nothing.
Yeah.
Who wants the Clare and Waterford jobs now?
Peter Keane obviously stepped aside. So
Peter Keane's gone, Waterford looking for a new man as well. Shanky's gone.
Go on, sorry, we're being flooded.
Ah, I can barely breathe here. You know who's actually in the comments a lot? Savinio, who's reportedly going from Manchester City to Spurs. Obviously, BD has started that off, like Bobby Dwyer. But it's suddenly Spurs, they look all right with Kudus involved. It says he's not going to Arsenal. Not sure about that. Too old for festivals now. Just getting ready for Oasis on Saturday. Did you get a ticket?
No. Did you?
No, I thought I had one. I thought I had, and it slipped through the fingers. Lads, are you forgetting what Dundalk did in Europe under Stephen Kenny not so long ago? Says Anthony Ryan.
No, obviously not.
That's the case
where the unsustainability, but now top of the first division. It's like, it's, that's what you don't want. Like, what they did was remarkable. It got their manager the Ireland job. Nobody's forgetting it, but it's like, it's just not the model for...
Forgotten. In the past, JWCM Grealish gets some free ride for being four for 3.5 of 4 seasons at City and Pep being blamed for curbing him. It's fascinating. We've talked to Dan Bardell about this. I'm fascinated by what happens to Jack Grealish.
He played 13 Champions League games a year. They won the treble, including the Champions League, which was more than any other player. Dharmashesh had that on Sky yesterday.
Will we ever get the answer to the question of him going on the almighty piss in that summer of 23 actually killed his City career? That Pep was laughing along with him on stage, but in the back of his mind was, I'm going to note that for next year. He started 7 games last season, Grealish. Scored once. Any pub suggestions for London Columns, says CMD? I do.
The Holly Arms.
Just outside of Victoria Station, there's a sports bar, which is unfortunately called Greenwood, but it looks unbelievable inside. It's like the Camden, right? Screens everywhere, but the decor is lovely.
Right.
It's right next to Victoria Station too. So if you're going somewhere afterwards, great spot. And there's another pub that right there, an old-fashioned...
Didn't know you were a sports bar aficionado.
British pub. Not really. I prefer an old-fashioned pub, right?
I was going to say.
There is something about a London pub that I love. The anonymity of it, the decor. The options they have on tap. It's incredible. And on that note, I think the pub is called, I'm looking it up here, the Queen's Arms. And it's by Victoria Station.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. Like, it's... What a pub. Let us know. Do you like a London pub? 0879 180 180. And why do you like it? Explain that in the voice note as well. I could keep going here, Jerry. Stop me if you want.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get the...
They want us to do a fantasy football league for OCB.
Well, we're not doing a fantasy football league, but we are doing a... it's the last man standing. It's called Final One Standing with William Hill. You've got until Friday to enter. It's $2,500 for the off the ball version. You need the code, which is all one word, off the ball. So you need a William Hill account. Sign up for that and then make sure you join our league. So everybody who signs up will be able to take part in the big league, which is like a mega prize. But ours is $2,500. It's going to be it's a little small community of off the ball users.
That's a nice one. Deposit for a house.
Up against us, $2,500 deposit for a house. A month's rent. Less than. But the possibility of actually winning it is very high because you're up against chumps like us. I'm going all in on Villa in the first week.
Who are they playing?
Newcastle.
That was the same first day of the season.
I may have changed my pick.
Sean O'Donoghue says it's a great appointment as no previous Mayo manager has the same passion as Andy. That's a big call.
It's just nice. Yeah, it doesn't.
Where's the passionometer, and how do you render that accurate?
Doesn't make any sense.
This is tough now from Noel Cahill. Paddy Talley, though, on the coaching ticket, he made Kerry worse last year. Come on.
They won the All-Ireland.
To deal with it, I don't necessarily think that's true, but I mean, what would your argument, why did Kerry improve with...
New rules.
Just new rules, that's new it. Rules. Not new coaches.
Right, I mean, clearly, Keane O'Neill brought something to the new rules. The emergence of Joe O'Connor. Like, loads of things happened this year. You know.
They won in 22 though.
They did. That might have been like won a bit against the head in some ways. And yet that was like also the golden generation of who were 22, 23, 24 at that stage. And they have Clifford.
All right.
I mean, every year they didn't win it with Clifford has been a bit like Pep not winning the Champions League with Messi. He's like, why did you not win the Champions League that year, Pep? Anyway.
Do you think David Clifford will get Sports Personality of the Year?
Oh, good question.
Show your work.
Oh God,
where'd that come out of?
It's up there, man. It's the noggin. That's what I'm here for, you know. And which Clifford says you? I think you know, it's only because he came late to the party. Paddy gives you so much on the pitch and on the mic. He's one of the all time greats. Like, he really is.
Are you still watching back his All-Ireland winning speech?
I honestly, myself and AJ Barry just share the video with each other every week and pick something new out of it. It's unbelievable how the ref sent me off. Unbelievable. But great win anyway. Delighted. Cody was a selector, James Stevens. When he said that, I did think that, but I'm not counting club.
That's not the same.
Yeah, I'm not counting club. So they all go back to the club. Yeah, everyone goes back to the club.
They never leave the club.
Yeah, exactly. Club for life. Come on, Alan. Psych, this is...
Clifford.
Do you want to do Clifford? Yeah, Grant. I have
Who is the RT Sports Personality of the Year this year, right? Nominees so far at the, where are we at, the 12th of August. From the world of Gaelic football, David Clifford, number one. From the world of soccer, do we have anybody at the moment?
No.
Say, for example, I don't know, say we had an Irish manager of the team, we're top of the Premier League.
No, nobody
by
faith.
October,
nobody.
November.
No, you can't. Like, it's not. Give it to Hamer.
If we qualify, every time we've qualified, the manager of the year has gone to the...
That'll be next year, don't it? We qualified by this year?
Katie McCabe obviously won the Champions League.
Sorry, yep. Katie McCabe. Yeah, there you go. That's it. That's
from the men's side, though.
They won't give it to Katie McCabe, but it's a good shout.
She'll be on the shortlist.
Yeah. I hope so. Like, it's not much more she can do.
We will have essentially qualified if we were to like win all the games this year. But that's March. It will be next year. Yeah. Okay.
Rory.
Well, I'm getting to that.
He's running through it. So it's process. Rugby.
Rugby. Yeah. Well, you know, Andy Farrell.
No.
On the Lions.
No. There will be uproar if anything like that happens.
Well, what are you talking about? Is it an Irish head coach?
You can't call it useless for the first month's building into it, and this is the worst Australian team of all time, and then when he does it, Lord praise hallelujah.
Maybe 3-0, maybe.
Dan Sheehan
should probably be
there. It's almost taken for granted, his consistent brilliance.
Who is the best rugby player that Ireland have at the moment?
Probably him, yeah.
It would be Caelan Doherty, who's fit.
Oof. Yeah, well, that's the big question, so he won't get it. Dan Sheehan is...
he'll be the nominee from rugby, right? Is there anybody else?
Like, Joe McCarthy, Tadhg Beirne will play the series, isn't he?
Maybe, yeah.
You'll be coming off the back of the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
You don't know what'll happen there.
I was just thinking, reading the pen pictures.
Aoife Way forgot, didn't Aoife Way forget to play the Six Nations?
Yeah, now she's injured and won't play at least until the New Zealand game, and even that's up for grabs at the moment. She is in the squad. I was just thinking that if the Irish papers were doing their patriotic duty today with the pen pictures of all the players who are going to the Rugby World Cup, they would have slaughtered them. This team's absolutely useless. Who the hell do they think they are representing this country? A bit slow. Manager slow to make changes. What is Scott Beaman? What's he doing? But they didn't do it. They missed their big opportunity there.
And then you want to get to your bit?
Oh, Roy McIlroy is the obvious answer. Ben Healy, incredible year for him.
Yeah.
Yellow jersey, Tour de France, first time since 1987. That is a legitimately big deal in Irish sport.
The person who gets it, though, is the achievement that's not forgotten at any point throughout the year. And the Masters is still a where were you sporting moment, that final round.
So in a straight shootout between Rory McIlroy, who I think might have won it before, has he? Did Conor McGregor win this one year?
Yeah. About 14, 15 maybe. Carl Frampton around the same time.
Frampton won it too, did he?
I think so. Yeah, after he won the world double world champion. I think so. I could be wrong. Rory definitely, he must have. He definitely... around 12, 13, 14 had to have won it. But I can't. It'd be uproar if it wasn't him.
Say that again, sorry, 11? Who was that? McIlroy won it twice in 2011 and 2014.
There you go.
Three-peat.
Who won it last year? Did Reece McLennan win it last year? Or Paul O'Donovan won it last year?
Yeah. It's amazing. He just disappears, isn't he? Paul O'Donovan goes back to saving lives. Like, not just up there, but everywhere.
I think McIlroy would have won the BBC one only for the Lionesses.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, it depends if they could fudge it and give them team and give...
him individual.
Give him individual. But I never know how they do it. They've so much stuff on it, it's insane.
So tell us what you think, Clifford versus McIlroy, who wins versus McCabe?
It has to set the parameters of the thing, though, because the only thing that it's so predictable now, the only thing that'll come back is like, oh, you can't compare intercounty Gaelic football to golf, it's a professional sport, so on and so forth. But like, so is it about how it makes you feel, or is it about how it makes you...
you're on board.
Yeah,
is it about how, like, is it the nature of the achievement?
That felt really good.
Yeah, it's just if it's the nature of the achievement, because we obviously value Gaelic achievement incredibly high.
Yeah. But they don't give parameters, though.
But we're so quick then to kind of just do it down. It's like, well, obviously the golf's better. It's like, well,
But the winner is never justified. It's just announced.
Yeah, no, that's true. That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great. The Monday morning.
And the winner is Rory McIlroy. Here's why, just to let you know. That'd That'll be, I mean, look, they list out the achievements, but it'll be Rory all day. It maybe should be more Katie McCabe than it is.
The list,
she won't win it all.
The list has aged very well.
Would Rory turn up, do you think?
So, no, I don't think so. I think it's video message.
I think there's only been two GA, and that is Shefflin in 06 and Sean Ogue in 2005. This is relatively interesting. Will I go through these since the year 2000? Do you want to?
Yeah.
So Sonia have in a good the year 2000.
Sonia 2000.
Silver medalist, right? Yeah. Mick McCarthy in 2001 qualified for the World Cup. I mean, I would have met Roy King in the single-handed dragon's head. But anyway, whatever. Pádraig Harrington in 02. Member of the European team that won the Ryder Cup.
Jeez. Wow. I thought McGinley was more prominent that year.
He sank the winning putt.
I thought McGinley won it.
Slow of the year.
Barry Geraghty won it in 03 for winning the Grand National.
Yeah.
Rog in 04. Bear in mind the 04 team.
04 was
Triple Crown.
04 was Triple Crown. Was it at Twickenham?
Wow. They won the Triple Crown. I mean, they'd won. Jesus. It was the next year. Was it? I'm getting my years. It's 06 and 08 they win the European Cup. Yeah. So, Roger.
05, 06 is GA.
Roger in 04. Sean Ogan 05, his third All Ireland medal. Shefflin wins his fourth All Ireland with Kilkenny and Hurler of the Year for second time in 06.
07 has to be Pádraig again, is
so
it?
So, getting named Hurler of the Year for a second time was enough to make Shefflin. 07 was Harrington.
Yeah.
First to win in over 60 years the Open. In 08, he retains it and retains Irish sports person here. Might even be better if there was a short list for all these. Maybe we could do that again. Drico wins in 09 because they win the Grand Slam. GMAC in 2010.
Yeah.
Winner of the
2010
US Open.
Isn't it so?
And then because they've given it to GMAC for doing that in 2010, Roy McIlroy wins it the next year. Like, oh, okay, you got it. 2012.
Rory had the collapse at the Masters, wasn't it? Rory, in 2011. That's the one where he was leading on Sunday and he drives into the gaff and collapses onto the club. I'm pretty sure that's 2011, but he also wins a major that year.
2012 is Katie Taylor for the Olympic gold medal. And then Tony McCoy, who's never won it up to that point, 18 times champion jockey, who in November wins his 4,000th winner race. 4,000 races. He gets it in 2013.
4,000 races won.
Yeah.
14.
Rory McIlroy again wins the Open and the PGA Championship. First European to win three different majors and also wins the Ryder Cup. It used to be like member of the Ryder Cup team, you won it. Now it's like two majors and actually the best player. 2015, Michael Conlon.
Oh.
He won the World Championship, didn't he? Before going to Rio.
Gold medal in the bantamweight division of the AIBA World Boxing Championships. 2016. Having become the first fighter in UFC history to hold titles in two divisions simultaneously, champ, Conor McGregor. I haven't heard much from him recently. James McClain, 2017.
Has Carl Frampton never won it then?
No.
I'm imagining that.
Did he win the
Jesus
BBC?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well. McClain scored one of Ireland's most famous goals when he netted to secure a 1-0 win away to Wales. Is it that?
Yeah.
Which secured a playoff spot.
Slow years, which
we then lost.
We see all.
Nicholas Bentner dropped his pants that night, didn't he?
Did he do
the Paddy Power thing?
Yeah.
Johnny Sexton, World Player of the Year 2018. Shane Lowry, 2019, wins the Open. Katie Taylor, 2020.
We're back.
Beats Persoon and Gutierrez. Blackmore, 2021. Grand National leading rider at Cheltenham. Unbelievable year in 2021. 2022, Katie Taylor again for defending.
She's done three, has she?
At Serrano at Madison Square Garden. Reese McClenaghan, 2023, entering into a little bit of extra pressure on Reese. Like, here, looking, every time we've given somebody the year out from an Olympic Games, it hasn't gone so well for them. But he's broken the curse, so fair play. And then Paula Donovan won last year.
It's harsh to give it to one of the two roars, isn't it?
I would have given it to Whiffen last year because it was...
He'd become the second...
Whiffen had such a huge stay in that too.
He's our second gold medalist, like second double gold medalist ever. Like
It is an incredible achievement.
It's outrageous stuff.
You are splitting hairs.
The guy's like three Olympic medals.
That Mount Rushmore is getting...
Whiffen did kind of save Irish swimming, you know?
Unworkable. It's unworkable. We need to rent out another one.
All right.
Do you want to move on, you do?
Yeah.
It's so much good stuff.
Who's it going to be? David Clifford is the right answer, right?
No, Rory McIlroy is right.
Rory, it has to be Rory.
I'll never forget that night.
You can't do that.
And we work in sport every single day. We talk about sport every single day.
I know.
And I'll still
Clifford
never forget
this
that
year.
Night. Clifford's amazing.
But it was the biggest thing in world sport. Like when it happened.
I know.
And he's one of our own, and he did it on the world stage.
I know it was. I'm just saying.
Huge.
For me, this year is about like.
Okay.
The ascension to the throne of the greatest thing that we've ever seen in the sport.
You have it, and if he wins, you do your lap of honour.